blessed in this nation of being such a rich nation, with each of us having probably a dozen Bibles, more or less, and so many in this world don't even have one. Lord, help us not to soften our ears to you because of familiarity with the Scriptures. Some of these we think, oh, I know that. And yet, Lord, we don't know but just the surface of anything, really. And so guide us this morning and help us to respond to your word, Lord, as you would have us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Proverbs 5 today, I'm finding as I go through the Proverbs, a little bit different track than the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are very beautiful, very emotional, and it is always kind of exciting to be down and then have yourself lifted up by the Spirit and soar in the heavenlies a little bit. And then I come back to Proverbs, and it's more like road maintenance, right? It's more like watch out for the chuck holes and fill up the chuck holes and check your map. And in one way, it's not very exciting. And in another way, it's so profound, and the whole word is so profound. And so we've been for the first four chapters pretty much talking about wisdom and understanding, and wisdom and understanding, and get wisdom, get understanding, get wisdom, get understanding. And maybe we got that. I don't know. I hope so. But now we're going to embark on three chapters of distractions, three chapters of a universal, eternal, not eternal, but at least in past history, a distraction of the sex drive, basically, is what we're talking about here. And chapter 5 is entitled The Peril of Adultery. The Peril of Adultery. And of course, we know what is adultery. That is willing sex with any married person outside of marriage. And so we have that so stuffed down our throat today in the culture from the very earliest on. And so we really need these three chapters, I think, to offset the clamor and all of that out there of this culture so given over to idolatry and so given over to sexual immorality. And so as we read this, it's very sobering in a way, and it's very revealing to me. I thought I knew this pretty well, and I had gone over it for quite a while this morning, and before I left, I thought, well, I'll read it one more time. I just know the Lord will give me something that I haven't received, and he did. In fact, he gave me so much that I hadn't received, I can't even remember all of it. But we begin talking to my son, and as I see Solomon giving his son wisdom regarding sexual immorality, I kind of always get a kind of a crick in my spirit, really, because how dare you, Solomon? But yet I understand this is not about Solomon. This is from the Holy Spirit. And Solomon does have a lot of wisdom in that. I guess if you have 700 wives, you've had some experience with these kinds of situations. And so we'll listen. So as we get into these three chapters of distraction on adultery, we may say, oh, I know all of that. I don't have to pay too much attention to that. I don't have much of a problem with that. Well, maybe you don't in one respect, and yet maybe you do in quite another respect in seeing what is God's word really saying, and are we really heeding his word? And so begins, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear, or give ear. In other words, listen. Of course, we have that all the way through the Scriptures, don't we? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Lend your ear to my understanding, that what? You may preserve discretion. What is discretion? That's something that we've totally lost in this culture, pretty much. There's nothing about being discreet anymore that you can see anywhere in this culture. So we need to be reminded of what discretion is, and what God's standards are for discretion. And we want to preserve discretion by not being taken away from his word, right? So here's some of the warnings. Now, before we leave verse 2, the last part of that is that your lips may keep knowledge. What does that mean? Well, it really means is we know what to do now, but what about tomorrow? What about next week? What about next year? Are we drifting away from God's word? Are our lips just turning away from that perfect truth and that perfect knowledge through distraction and deception? And here it comes as a description of that. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. And you could reverse that if you want. In some cases, of an immoral man being sought after by women. But generally, it's more the other way around. The immoral woman is seeking to make herself available to a man. For the lips of an immoral man drip honey. Now, honey was the sweetest thing that they had in that culture. So when you see an attractive woman or you're a beguiling woman, don't start looking at her lips, because they're attractive and they drip honey. They're sweet. This is kind of a woman not only knows men, but she knows how to work men. And so it's kind of like you and I going to a used car sales lot and being talked into anything by a salesman, because we don't know, we don't know a Ford from an Oldsmobile, really. Particularly don't know what condition it's in. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Now, olive oil is very smooth, I think what we're talking about here. Very smooth mouth and lips that are dripping honey. And she's sharp as a two-edged sword. Now, that's pretty sharp, right? I mean, we're not talking about dummy seductresses out there. They're very sharp as a two-edged sword. But what? Her feet go down to death. Ooh. Got your attention yet? Her lips lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path, for her ways are unstable. There's an amazing thing about sexual immorality. It has to be of an unstable nature in a person that's just different from a person being kind of confused and wandering around. They're actually unstable. That's not normal. That's not right. And it says, you do not know them, because we don't think the way they do. Therefore, hear me now, my children. Now, I would think now he's including his daughters, probably, if he says my son earlier. Now he says my children. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. So I have a big underline under departing, because how frequently is a tendency in us to depart from his word, right? I mean, we sit here on Saturday morning, we're all in agreement 100%. With the word, we know we don't want to depart from it. It's perfect. It's true. And then, by the time you get home, or by the time this afternoon comes around, or tomorrow, or the next day or so, you find you're not quite so sure about adhering to his word without any wondering at all, right? I mean, because, this is pulling you off, or that's pulling you up. But we're not to depart. We're not to depart from his word. And here he's really saying the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Not just remove her away from you, but move her far away from you. So I don't know what your temptations are. I did check, and I'll just read it. It's still in the Bible. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then we're told the verse before that, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So basically, with this immorality here, this sexual immorality and so forth, to me, we have not only the lust of the flesh, but we even have into it the lust of the eyes. Where does it all start in the first place? Pretty much the lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life. You say, well, how's that sound? That's pride. Yes, we, particularly men, can be very prideful. Don't we want to pride ourselves in being good lovers, or, being masculine and all this kind of stuff? And so all of this feeds into that. All of this feeds into that. Hear me now, my children. Do not depart from the words of mouth. Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Now, all of you probably have a screen, probably a bunch of screens. And on the big screen, it's controlled by a clicker, by a mouse, right? So when does the sin come in this area? It comes before you even grab hold of the mouse. And when you got a hold of the mouse, you click on whatever you shouldn't click on, and you've already gone over the line. Now, maybe you'll stop at that point, maybe you won't. But we need to not even go near the door of this kind of a situation. Because once you get in the door, you're already hooked, really. I mean, you're already committed in a way, as opposed to staying away from the door. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Now, think about, we talked about this before quite a bit, particularly in the Genesis study and all about sin and how we don't consider the long-term effects of it. We just get caught up into the emotion of the moment, but the long-term effects of sexual sin are severe, really severe. So we see here, your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labor goes to the house of a foreigner. So this is really more about prostitution and about spending your money on, and most of the prostitutes at the time of the Bible, at least the Old Testament, Israel hadn't fallen that far yet. So most of the prostitutes were strangers. They were foreigners. They were not Hebrew women because there was such an abomination of that. Later, when they turned from the Lord, became there's prostitution there. But this prostitution has to do with strange women here, or immoral women, or foreigners, basically. And then we go on, house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last, and your flesh and your body are consumed. Wow. Now, in those days, syphilis was incurable and led to insanity. And some of these diseases are controllable now by antibiotics and all, but I just looked up, what are the 7 most common, they call them SDIs now. I thought they were sexual transferred infections. They don't call them diseases anymore. They call them infections. They used to be STD, I think, sexually transmitted disease. Now it's infection. So they've limited down. Infection sounds a little less severe, I guess. But there are these 7, and there's like 3 of them that are controllable by antibiotics, and then there's 4 of them that you can kind of control them, but you can never cure it. You never get it out of your body. You never get rid of AIDS. You've always got AIDS in your body, and a bunch of these already have AIDS. So they're lifelong. If you, one time, you can contact them, and you got it forever. And so this is what we're talking about here, I believe, when he says, you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, now, or not now, how? I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. And I look at that and I think, well, that doesn't apply to me. And I go, oh, really? I don't like instruction and I don't like correction. I need it, but I don't like it. I don't know that I've hated it, but I have to be careful on that of saying that doesn't apply to me, because it certainly does. I've not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. How many times has the Holy Spirit warned you not to do something and you go ahead and do it anyway? Maybe like today, maybe like yesterday, maybe like every day to a degree, maybe not. But I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Now, stay true to your marriage here is basically what this is going to be talking about. The next one's here. Of course, this all is about that. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. I think we understand what that means. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Are you going to waste what is really valuable, like just throwing it out in the alley, throwing it out in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. That means your wife or your husband. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. In other words, find it all in your relationship with your wife and not outside of that. And a couple of illustrations here. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured. I like that word. Enraptured basically means intoxicated, really, but not in a bad way. Be enraptured with her love. Be enraptured with the love of your spouse. Because what happens? We get accustomed, and we get a little bit, it's not new and exciting anymore, and now we start to think what it would be like outside of that relationship. I mean, that's, I say we, that's what Satan wants us to do, really. That's a temptation, isn't it? But it says always be enraptured with her love, because that's the best there is. There's no better than that anywhere. Well, yes, but this woman, boy, she is, she's smooth lips and she honey lips and so forth. Yeah, that's how many others has she been that way with? And what is she carrying in her body that you could contract from her? Be enraptured with your spouse's love. Why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? You're being embraced in a totally unstable one, and it's only going to give you trouble. Now we wrap it up with three verses here. This is kind of the consequences of it. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. Now I just took, there's hundreds of verses literally on this in the scripture, but I just made a little note of them here on verse 21 because it just kind of struck me the importance of this one. Here are just a few of them. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all paths. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behold of those whose heart is loyal to him. Now in this you've done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. In Job 31:4 we read, does he not see my ways and count all my steps? Job 34:21, for his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. We'll get to Proverbs 15:3 a little later. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Jeremiah 16:17, for my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. In Jeremiah 32:19, you are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Wow. Hosea 7:2, they do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. In Hebrews should be 4, I don't have it there, Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes, or to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see that God is very clear in saying that he knows our ways, right? He knows our ways. And here in 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. In the last couple of verses, his own iniquities entrap the wicked man. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. I don't know if any of you have any experience with people who are caught up in pornography, but that is a perfect example of that. Caught up in the cords of their sin, and they just can't break it. And the problem with that, it never ends. It gets worse and worse and worse. You have to have more, like with drugs or anything else. You need to increase, 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 increase. The flesh is never satisfied. And so you have all of these murders by pornography, and once in a while it slips out that they found pornography stuff with this murderer and all. But it should be really at the top of the list. When you see a real pornography addict, they're not going to be satisfied with pictures anymore. They want to work it out in the flesh, and so they're killing and raping and doing that kind of a thing in a very grotesque way. But that's what happens. They get caught in the cords of their own sin. And then finally, the ultimate end, and he shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. So we get bound by this kind of thing, and then we become a slave to it. And then if it's not interceded by the Lord or whatever, we die without because of that. So I don't know if this was really an uplifting message or not for you. It wasn't particularly uplifting for me, but it's a very sobering thing, isn't it? And this is God speaking to us. And so we thank him for it because he loves us so much. And as much as Solomon would be teaching his son, think about our Father teaching us, his sons and his daughters. So may we go to prayer today as led by the Spirit. And we've got much to pray for on a worldwide basis, much to pray for on a national basis, and just much to pray for. I was just reminded again on whenever the World Series was won, whenever that was, Tuesday night or whenever it was, Monday night, I can't remember. So on an exciting celebration, what happens in Los Angeles? It turns into looting stores and setting buses on fire and rioting. So if that's what you got on good news, what do you think you're going to have on the bad news? I think of Jesus saying, you know, for if this happened in the green, what's going to happen in the dry, right? So we got a lot to pray for because we've got lawlessness all over the place. And I heard again this morning a kind of a focus on one of the greatest lies in this whole campaign here, particularly about the Democrats, is they keep bringing up Roe versus Wade. What they're basically saying is that Roe versus Wade didn't have any number of weeks in it. So over time, Roe versus Wade, we put weeks in it, you know, not the first trimester and then you extend it on out. But what the Democrats want, I'm not saying people, but what the Democratic platform is, they want no limitation whatsoever. So the new bill they have is back to Roe versus Wade, they say, which it really isn't. That means no time at all. It can go all the way. There's no limit to time. There's no weeks at all. It's full abortion till the time of birth, and in some cases, even after birth. That's where they are on it. So that is really grotesque. So any Christian that would vote for that or not vote against it, they're not really thinking what's going on there. And couldn't be more clear in that regard. So again, when you're voting, maybe all of us have voted now, I don't know, but make sure one of your criterion is which candidate will result in the fewest abortions. Probably is a pretty good standard to see who is more godly, right? Well, Father, we thank you. Help us now to pray as you would guide us in maybe different thoughts with all of these different instructions we've just read. But yet we know that you care for us and you love us and you want just the best for us. And it is so clear that that is your way and not the way of the world. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Father, as we get kind of close to the end of the hour, I just pray for a couple of real clear things in our witness, Lord. Number one, that good news is that the blood of Jesus is more powerful than any sin. On the other side of that coin, just as important is that if you persist in your sin, you will die forever. Hell is real. And Father, we so want to emphasize your love, which is good, but Lord, you are just and righteous, and you're a whole package. You're not just love and mercy without righteousness. And so, Lord, how we need to be true. And Lord, I really want to pray for the body of Christ. This election will not be lost because of cheating. It'll be lost because of failure to vote. For those who are yours, Lord, and we see the pitiful small number of evangelical Christians voting, we see a very large list of churches that will not even take a position on abortion. That's the problem. It's not our schools, it's not our police department, it's not even our crooked judges, as bad as they are. The problem is that the light of the world is not coming through your church. It's not coming through your people. Because you have said, if my people, if my people, if my people, if my people, it's us, it's me, it's everyone in this room, Lord, and others that are yours would stand for you. And this nation, you've given us the glorious opportunity of voting, and we don't even take it seriously, just as we're not taking you seriously. And so therefore, that's the problem. It's the godlessness. And Lord, even the abortion, the big issue there really is not so much the babies to me, it's the coming against you in the sanctity of life. You have said that we will create Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, man in our image. Every conception is such a glorious, glorious, glorious supernatural miracle. And yet we have trashed it. We have trashed new life. And we've trashed pretty much everything about your word in terms of turning away from it. And Lord, I pray for Israel, not for protection. You're going to protect them. I'm not concerned about that at all. But Israel has not turned to you. They're still a pagan, very pagan people, still relying on the IDF and on other things for their security. But there will come a day when that will fail. And there'll come a day when the remnant that will survive will all turn to you. So I pray today for those who would turn to you now and not have to go through all of that stuff. And if they can't turn to you now, it's going to be really hard to turn to you later. We know 2/3 of them will die, Zechariah says. So bad things are coming on the face of this earth. Horrendous things are coming as you will cleanse it. You will take care of the sin. And Lord, we can give you lists all over the place of people that are sinning, but you know all of that. As we read again this morning, your eyes see. Your eyes see, your eyes know. So, Lord, help us to open our eyes. As we close here, I thought of this song again this week, and I thought, that's just perfect. And then I looked, and that's the same song we sang last week. I said, well, good, we'll sing it again this week. So let's stand and sing this song, Open Our Eyes. Open our eyes to you, Lord. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. And as we leave here, may we not just leave this place and leave you behind, but may we be led by you, and may we be seizing this day, Lord. You've given us today, maybe tomorrow, we don't know, but we just pray that we would relish the opportunities you give us to show our love to that dark and dying world. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.